We continue on learning Lili Nishmas David Ben Menachem Shem Ben Yaakov Ben Pinchas Leo. We are in Bava Kama Paratas Mishnah Yud Beis. In the previous Mishnah, we spoke about a gozel hagir, someone who steals from a ger, and he lies, he swears falsely, he says he didn't steal, then he's more than he admits. And we spoke about where the ger dies, and then we spoke about what are you to pay? You pay the keren the chomesh to the kohanim, and then we spoke about the fact that if this person is bringing the gazon, is bringing the kesef and the karbon asham, the chomesh up to Yushalayim, and then he dies along the way. So we said, so you're going, you're supposed to give Yinasein Levanov, then his sons are able to be Yorishim. What do you do with the Asham? We spoke about the fact that you wait till it gets a mum, you sell it, you redeem it, etc. So here we have a case of following. Nasan es hakesef, lanshi mishmar. So the person who stole from the ger now is coming to give to the kohen, because the ger has, ger passed away, the ger has no Yorishim. So there's no one to inherit, so therefore you have to give the keren, the chomesh, to the kohanim, and of course to bring the korban asham to the Beis HaMikdash as well. And in fact, the gozel es ager, the one who stole from the ger, the gazlan did not die along the way. He had a chance. He brought the keren and the chomesh to the Beis HaMikdash. He gave them to the anshei mishmar, the kohanim who were serving that week. The kohanim were divided into 24 mishmaros, so about approximately twice, 2 weeks each, and then they would serve for the whole week. Each day was a different base of, and so by the end of the year, you had to eat 2 weeks to figure the year, 24 mishmaros. Each mishmar, each family, each group of kohanim are going to serve for 2 weeks throughout the year. So here, he brings whoever the anshei mishmar are of that time, that week, that's who is going to receive the keren lechomesh. And now vames. And now the gazlan dies, but after he gave the kesef, the keren lechomesh, the principal and the fifth of the money that he owed, he gave to the anshei mishmar. But the karban asham, he had yet to sacrifice. So the Mishnah here says, what happens in such a case? Ein ha-yorshim yecholim lahutzi miyadam. The yorshim of the gazlan do not now have the right to take the kesef away from the kohanim, although in the previous Mishnah, where he's on his way, the gazlan is on his way, the gozel es hager, and then he dies on the way. So if the gazlan's not here, remember, technically speaking, the ger, there's no one you really have to pay back to. But we want you to get rid of the gzela. But if the gazlan passed away, so there's nothing to worry about. So the kesef now is given to his children. But here, the kesef was given to the kohanim already. You'll say, well, he didn't finish his kapara, his atonement anyway, because he didn't bring the karban asham yet. Doesn't matter. The yorshim cannot now take the kesef from the kohanim. It's already in the hands of the kohanim, even though the karban asham was not brought. Shneimar, based on the pasuk, ish asher yitein la kohen lo yihyeh. Mishnah and the Gemara explains that the kesef is mechaper mechza. The kesef, we assume, atones for half of the sin. And since the gazlan had, there was some effect, there was something did work and help him with the bringing of the kesef itself by giving it to the kohanim. So the yoshim can't say, well, he didn't get kapara anyway because he didn't bring his karban asham before he passed away. We want the money. No, the money he gave was given to the kohanim. The gazlan, while the gazlan was still alive, had some degree of atonement, and he couldn't bring the karban asham, but that's okay. The money stays with the kohanim, and the yoshim cannot claim it. Nasa kesef liho yoriv v'asham liyadaya. Let's say you have a case where the gazlan gave the money to Yoriv was the first mishmar in the order of the mishmaros. That was the first. And you have these names, you speak about them in the kinos. Yehoyariv was that first mishmar of the kohanim. You look at Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perichov, Dalid. And each mishmar had a special name. So here, instead of giving the kesef and the karbon asham to the same mishmar, which normally you would do because you'd bring them on the same day, here you gave the kesef to Yehoyariv that week that they were serving, v'asham liyadaya, and then Yadaya, the second mishmar, the next week when they're serving, you gave them the asham to bring that as the karbon. So says the Mishnah, although you didn't give them to the same mishmar, you didn't bring them at the same time, yatsa, you fulfilled your kapara, because, as we'll see a little bit later, a person who brings his the gezel, the money that he owes before he brings his karban asham, is yotzei, even though he didn't bring them at the same time, it just has to be that the gezel has to be paid before the asham. So therefore, every mishmar gets what it gets, since the kesef was paid first to Yehoyariv, to the first mishmar, and the asham only afterwards, and the asham afterwards, so that order is fine. Of course, normally you'd bring them both at the same time, but here, b'di'evit, it's fine. But let's say asham Yehoyariv v'kesef liyadaya. He gave the karban asham to the first mishmar, to Yehoyariv. And the keren and the chomesh, the payment, that he gave to Yadaya the next week. So what do you do here? That's out of order. That's not allowed. So what should he do by bringing the Asham first and then the Kesef, giving it to the second Mishmar? So it says like this, Im Kayam HaAsham, if the Asham is still around, it's still intact, it was not brought, the Yehoyariv's family did not sacrifice it yet, then Yakrivuhu B'nei Yedaya. So then what we should do is, let the B'nai Yediah, who received the money, let them sacrifice the Asham, so that the Kes and the Asham are now both in Yediah's Mishmar, and they take care of him. Lo, but let's say B'nai Yehoyariv already sacrificed the Karban Asham before the Kesef was given to Yediah the second week. Yachzor v'yavi Asham Acher. You're not Yotzei with that Asham that you gave to Yehoyariv because it was sacrificed, it was offered before the money was given. And therefore you have to bring another Asham. And the Mishnah explains why. Shamei v'gezeilu atchelo hevi Ashamo Yotza. If you bring your gezela before the Karban Asham, even though they're different weeks, you don't say your kapara. But hevi Ashamo atchelo hevi gezeilu. But if you bought the Karban Asham first before the gezela, lo Yotza. Based on a pasuk, because the Gemara explains. Pasuk says, Asham Hamushav Lashem Lakohain, which is the Asham that is actually referring to the money. The money is given to the Kohen, the Keren, the Chomesh. Milavad, besides El HaKippurim, the Isle, the Ram of Kippurim, Asher Haper Bo'alav, which is the Karban Asham. So what is the language of Asher Yichaper Bo'alav? You will receive atonement. So it sounds like at the time you're bringing the Asham, now this doesn't mean Karban Asham, this means the money. When you're giving the money to the Kohen, which is the gezela, asher yichaper bo'olav. You have yet to have the atonement of the asham. So the pasuk seems to be telling me the chronology, that it has to be money first, and then the asham. If you did the asham first, it was already offered. And the hands, and Yediah, the second mishmah, they have the money, you have to bring the korban asham. Nasan es hakeren v'lo nasan es hachomesh. Let's say the goslin paid the principal to the kohanim, or even paid the nigzal, let's say. Nigzal, who he owes the money to, and where he's around. So it's not a case of a ger. But we didn't give the chomesh, and now he wants to bring the carbon usher before he gave the chomesh, before he pays the fifth. Ein ha-chomesh ma'akev. The sacrifice of the usher is fine. It's not a problem that it preceded the chomesh. Of course, he should pay the chomesh afterwards, but since the chomesh is not ma'akev the kapara, therefore, he's able to pay that afterwards, even the Karban Asham was brought first. So Kapara Atonement he gets, even if he doesn't give the Chomesh at all. But nonetheless, if he gave the Karen, then brought the Karban, so that order is fine, but he forgot the Chomesh, so at least give the Chomesh afterwards. That's what he should do, L'chatchila. We begin the 10th and final parak of Avakama, Paragun Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is dealing with the Goslin who gave his children from the Gezela, or let's say he was Morisha to them, he bequeathed it to them, are they obligated to pay for the gzela? We'll also deal with people who have a chazaka of being gazlanim, and it's coming to teach us we can't get hana from their mammon, because we assume that their mammon, the money that they have, is a chazaka that it's actually from gezel, it's actually stolen money. It says the Mishnah like this, Hagozil u'machil es banav, you have a person who stole an item, and now he fed his children from the gazela. So it doesn't have to be food. It could be that they consumed it. They used an item, and now there's wear and tear on the item. So v'hiniach lifnehem. Or let's say he left the gazela for his children, and they consumed it after their father passed away. So the gazela is no longer ben. It's no longer intact. Says the Mishnah, Pturin milishalim. The sons do not have to pay the value of that gazela back. They didn't steal it. And so what is it exactly? So it's a debt, it's a chov that the father owes. So if it's a debt that the father owes, shouldn't have to pay its value? No, because the rule is that metaltele diasme lo mishtabdi lebal chov, which means movable objects that the sons have are not meshuba. There's no lien upon that to pay back any debt of their father. If there's karka, there's property that the father had, so there's a lien upon that to pay back a debt. He owes money, he owes for a gzela. So then the sons would have to take from that property to pay back for the value of the gzela, or if there's a loan that the father owed. But if it's only from metaltel and movables, then there's no obligation for them to pay back the gzela that they consumed. Obviously, if the gzela is still intact, it says, so then they would have to actually give the gzela back. What about Vimhaya Davar Sheyeshbo Achrayas, which means if the father left for the sons, Karka Davar Shebishar Achrayas, where we typically have a lien upon those properties. So even if the Gzeil is no longer intact, they consumed it completely. Then Chayavin Lashalem, they have to pay, even though the Gzeil is not here, they have to pay because there's Karka. The father has we assume that the Nechastim, the property of the father, the Karka, is Meshubad when the father was still alive. And therefore, we said metaltele diasme, movables of the Yosomer, are not meshubah to pay back a chov, a debt, in this case of the gzela. But karka of the father indeed is. The Gemara explains, we're talking about a case in the Mishnah where the Yorshim consumed the gzela after the Bailim, the owner, gave up hope. So then we understand why the halacha is that they don't have to pay for metaltele. But let's say they consumed the gzela even before Yish, even before the owner of the object that was stolen gave up hope on it, then the chayiv to pay from even metaltin, even movables that their father left for them. They would have to pay the gzela back, even though the gzela is no longer intact. The gzela, as we said, but it's still there, so they certainly have to return that, and that would be true even if, let's say, we talk about the following. Let's say the gazlan would sell the gzela object, and now the owner gave up hope. So what happens in such a case? A classic case. You have a gazlan, he stole something, and he sold it to, Reuven stole something, and he sold it to Shimon, and the owner gave up hope originally. So the lokeach, the buyer, Shimon, does not have to return that. Why? Because Shimon is kone that with Yish and Shini Rishus, which means that there is a change of domains, change of possession, and there's Yish and there's giving up hope. So the lokeach, the buyer, does not have to return it. So why wouldn't we say the same thing here? If let's say you have the Yorshim, so they have the father, and now it's changed Rishus, it's now in the hands of the Yorshim. And let's say the owner gave up hope, so why would there be an obligation to return the object? So the answer is, even though it's still intact, they shouldn't have to, because there's Yish, giving up of hope, and Shini Rishus, and the change of possession. The answer is, no, Yorshim are not considered the same degree of change of possession. As we say, Rishus Yoresh Eino K'Rishus Lokeach. That's Rava's opinion, and Halacha follows that. So, Lokeach, yes, one who purchases something from a gazlan, so now it's changed Rishus, and if the Nigzal, the one who was stolen from, gave up hope, the original owner, so then the Lokeach can keep it. But a Yoresh cannot keep it after, even though it's now in Rishus, it used to be his father's, now it's his, and therefore he has an obligation to give back that gazela, even if the owner had given up hope. Now, if this Yish by itself, and no Shin Rishus at all, so there's no kinyan of gazela, and therefore we're making the argument that the Yoresh may not actually be considered a change of Rishus at all. It happens to be the Rambam rules, the halacha, that in Hilchos Gezela Perek Hey Halacha Vav, that after there's a takanas ha-ga'onim, and that was that a Baal Chov, for one who's owed money, is allowed to collect even from a Taltan of Yarshim. Although there was that rule that a Baal Chov, one who's owed money, the Nigzal or a Malve, anyone who's owed money, normally is only paid from Karka, from land, from that property. And if Yarshim have Metaltan of movables, they are not Meshuba to pay back a Chov. After there was a Takanas Gaonim, that doesn't matter what it is. Even movable object for the Yarshim now that are bequeathed to the children, to the orphans, they have to pay back any debt of the father, even from movables. And that would be true even if there was a loan and there was no shtar written, what we call a milval pair. The Yoshim have to pay back that debt that the father owed, even if there's no shtar, and even if there's no karka, even just from metaltolin. And this would apply even if the owner didn't give up hope. Makes no difference. This was a takana that we have. Now the Gemara says that one other interesting thing, that Rebbe explained to Rabbi Shimon, his son, another way to understand this phrase in the Mishnah. Mishnah here said, "Vimhaya davar sheish bo achrayus." If there's something that, if there's achrayus, then the sons have to pay. So what did that mean when we first learned that in the Mishnah? It meant, well, if the father left movables, they don't have to pay back. But if he left karka, then they have to pay back the value of the gzela. So Rebbe explained, that's not what that line means. It means im hayad davar sheish bo achrayus doesn't mean that the father has in the inheritance that the yorshim now have, there's karka. And therefore, if there's karka, then the orphans, the yorshim, have to pay back the debt that's owed the gzela, the value of the gzela that they consumed. So from that property. It doesn't mean that there's achrayus, there's property in the Yerusha, but it means if that which was stolen was a davar sheyesh bo achrayus, if that which the father had stolen was, let's say, land. How you steal land is interesting, but nonetheless, or let's say he stole a cow, and the cow is able to plow, a chamor is able to do work as well, and karka, a para chamor is a gzela, that's nikeres larabim. Everyone can recognize, can see that was stolen. And everyone can testify, I know who the owner of that is, of that land is, of that cow is, of that chamor is. Then the orphans do have to return that no doubt to the owner because of kavod of their father. That seems that according to Rebbe, what we said before is not true. Which is that according to Rebbe, the only reason you're returning is covered with your father, but not because something that's left intact has to be returned. Sounds like it's left intact. They don't necessarily have to return it according to the letter of the law, but for covered of their father, they should return it because people know what it is. Let's say it's not recognizable, but the gzela is intact, according to Rebbe, they would not have to return it. But we learned earlier that that's not true, and we followed the position that the Yorshim have to return no matter what object it is, if it's still around, still intact. And it doesn't make a difference. Not about kavod of the father. If it's not nikar l'rabim, if the gzela is still there, that certainly has to be returned. Then the Mishnah says, ein portin lomi tevas hamochsin lomi kishel gabar. We mentioned this in the introduction, that there are certain people that were afraid that the money that they have is stolen money. So here you have a case of mochsin, which are the customs, people in charge of customs. So you should not go to them if you want to change money. You want to exchange, you have a very large silver coin, you need prutos, you need copper coins to buy a chocolate bar in the store. So you want to exchange money, do not go to the customs dealers, because we're afraid the money that I have is stolen. Lomi kishel gabayim, where the people collect tax, because we're afraid that the money that they have, these could be Jews as well, that doesn't matter. The point is, we're afraid the money that they have may be gezel. Now, this is not, of course, ignoring Dina de Malchus Adina. Obviously, if there's the law of the land is the law, if they're collecting honestly and properly, so then and fairly, so that's fine. We don't assume they have money, they have gezel there. But we're talking about what we call a moche she'en lo kitzva, talking about where the customs collectors, so they've been appointed by the government to take meches, and there's no limit. They can take as much as they like. So that maybe they maybe have money that really they shouldn't have, or let's say, or maybe he appointed himself and he's collecting what he likes. So that's customs. What about tax? The same thing. He's taking more than that which the government had permitted him to do so. So here the Chachamim say, we assume the Chazaka is that their mammon is men ha-gezel. Don't exchange money with them because you can't get hana from gezel. Vein lo mehem tztaka, another halacha, for the same reason. Don't collect, they want to give you tztaka. No, you can't. By taking tztaka from them, you are mechazek yidei over avera. You're basically now supporting people and giving them a pat on the back for doing something wrong. They're giving tztaka. They think maybe the tztaka's mechaper is going to atone for the gzela. So that is not so. But once again, meches, that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Gzela Perek Hey, meches shepasak hamelech v'amar sheyikach shlish or revia or davar katzuv. But if the king decides on taxes and he says, everyone, you should take a third or a quarter or a fixed amount, and he appoints someone in charge, and we find out he's a Neman person, he's a trustworthy person, doesn't add on to anything. Then the Mishnah concludes, "Aval no tell who mitoch beso." which means that where can we not take money, exchange money from the moches, the customs dealer, or the gabai, the tax collector? That's only when he's you're getting money from him from the kupa, from the basket of the taxes. But if you go to his house and he's going to exchange money, so his own money is not gazelle, it's from his other business dealings, or menashuk, or let's say this person has money in the marketplace, which is not the money that he's collecting taxes from, so then that is acceptable and you can exchange money with him in such a case.